SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. In DRS, the people have often heard of a Football Friday. And there will be some NFL headlines and some big news around the National Football League as the early portion of the offseason, officially in the 2025 league year, does roll on. But really, it's a College Basketball Friday on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. A ton of reaction to a chaotic Thursday night during conference tournament week. Quarterfinal action in multiple of our high major conferences. That continues on this Friday. Some semifinal matchups to break down. We will pick, we will preview, we will break down every game. We'll react to all the craziness that we saw on a Thursday over these 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
An absolute stacked deck on a Friday. You are right for 3 hours because the basketball card just as good, if not better, than what it was on a Thursday. The only question for me is will it be profitable, because yesterday it wasn't. Give me some of those late three-point shots in my direction. Give me some fouls in my direction. Give me some overtimes in my direction today. It should happen, but a wonderful day all the way across. Starts early, ends late. This is the place you want to be on the Sports Grid Network to get you ready, because today, tomorrow, and Sunday, some of the best basketball you'll see, and also some of the best highlight shows you will see, which include a little Bracket Central action on Sunday night. And away we go, dancing into March.
Our Bracket Central selection show live Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern time. It will be myself and the coach, James Young, J.Y., to get you set as we embark on a month of madness. DRS, yesterday you called Thursday maybe one of your favorite college basketball days of the entire season. And all the drama and chaos that we saw certainly lived up to that billing. Even some scary times for the Duke Blue Devils. At the close of the opening half, when Duke was taking on Georgia Tech as a 22.5-point favorite and the Yellow Jackets were giving the Dukies a run in the opening 20 minutes, Cooper Flagg goes up for a rebound late in the first half, comes down awkwardly on his left ankle, had to be escorted off the floor by his teammates. He was back in the tunnel in a wheelchair to get x-rays. Those are negative, but Cooper Flagg did return to the bench, did not return to the game. A scary moment for Duke, who does prevail thanks to Con Knipple in a career-best 28 points. Duke beats Georgia Tech 78-70, but the story, DRS, is really Cooper Flagg.
It is. We need him back sooner than later. He's not going to obviously play today. Probably won't play in the ACC tournament. And do the Duke Blue Devils need him in game number one of the NCAA tournament? Probably not. But that also begs the point of, he was playing as good as anybody in the country and has been doing that all season long. Does this hamper him if he does even come back into tournament play? With the expectations, hopefully, he will be back. Here's the question, though. Is this a silver lining for the Duke Blue Devils, who leaned on Cooper Flagg all season long, fought yesterday in the second half and put up 52 points without Cooper Flagg, a monster game versus UNC today? Could this be one of those things where everybody else gets to step up and then you get Flagg back in a week to a week and a half and the team is actually better for it? Let's see what happens with the Duke Blue Devils.
I think when you look at the result in those second 20 minutes, DRS, as Duke was down at the half against Georgia Tech, there should be a silver lining in it. And of course, maybe not quite as scary a scenario. The Cooper Flagg was able to walk back to the bench, looked okay, sat on the bench, wasn't in a boot or a walking boot, anything of the sort. They also lose Malik Brown, the transfer from Syracuse, who provided a ton of leadership in front court depth. And as DRS mentioned, a huge semifinal matchup on this Friday night in Charlotte against North Carolina. Opening day for St. John's in the Big East tournament. After their first conference crown in the regular season in four decades, St. John's just keeps rolling through Big East foes. A 21-point win yesterday, 78-57 inside Madison Square Garden. The Johnnies on to semifinal Friday in MSG as well.
Yeah, how about Butler held to 34.5% as a team, which included 30% from the free throw line, or 30% from the three-point line, didn't make all that many free throws. This is what St. John's can do. The worry for me was game number one, right, for St. John's or early in the Big East tournament. But as these games progress and get bigger and bigger, so is the crowd's emotion, which will be on St. John's side.
No doubt about it. A huge one tonight inside MSG. It's St. John's and Marquette. That was a wild game yesterday as well for the Golden Eagles against the Xavier Musketeers. Plenty of wild endings and chaotic finishes, certainly in the SEC tournament yesterday in Nashville. The final game of the day, Kentucky's Otega Owe catches the ball with about 6 seconds left. The Cats down by one, drives the length of the floor against his former club in Oklahoma and hits a baseline floater with half a second left as Kentucky knocks off OU by just a single point. And for the second time in about 3 weeks, DRS, Otega Owe against his former side in the Sooners delivers the final and crucial blow for Kentucky.
Big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. You saw that last night, and also Kentucky. They're a fun brand of basketball. Don't play that much defense, but are very fluid on offense. Good fight there for the Oklahoma Sooners, just not enough for Kentucky. And I'm glad Kentucky moves on, because that's a team you like to bet on and bet against. And if you want totals and you want player props, that's a team you can look out for. Kentucky moves on, and a great matchup again today.
A over team to the nth degree, over 160 and a half for Kentucky. We saw double overtime in the Lone Star Showdown between Texas and A&M. We saw Sean Padula nearly at the buzzer for Ole Miss, delivering a huge shot against Arkansas. So much craziness yesterday in the SEC tourney. It is now quarterfinal Friday, where the top four seeds enter the fold as well. Same story in the Big Ten. Some NBA action, just a five-game slate last night, but the Milwaukee Bucks, as a seven-point home favorite against the LeBron-less Lakers, pick up a big victory. A 20-point win for Milwaukee, despite DRS 45 points out of Luka Doncic, but 126-106 as Giannis and Dame prevail for Milwaukee last night.
Yeah, I thought the Lakers would be able to hang around. If you told me before the game Luka would drop 45 points, they probably think you might won the game, or at least it's a close one. And that's actually a worst case scenario. Lose by 20 and Luka has 45. So what does that actually mean when Luka doesn't bring his A game, which tonight they're getting two touchdowns from Denver in elevation? Tough stretch for the Lakers as they try to weather the storm without LeBron James.
DRS, we said it. Luka Doncic can almost single-handedly carry a team. You think they lose by 20 last night, and Luka was 4 of 19 from the floor. Quite the opposite, 45 points, 7 of 13 from 3. Some more history last night for Stephen Curry in the Northern California contest against the Sacramento Kings. Steph needed just two threes to hit 4,000, of course, becoming the first player in NBA history to ever do that. And that's exactly what Steph got as the Dubs pick up a big win. 130-104, 11 straight victories with Jimmy Butler in the starting five, despite only 6 points out of Butler last night.
And a chance last night to come back and play for Domantas Sabonis did not play. And boy, glad I guess he didn't play. They got wasted last night at home for Golden State. It's one of those teams that's a veteran team playing well down the stretch, but not really in the public eye as a true contender possibility. Let's see over the next couple weeks if they can really ramp up here and maybe see that win streak. It's 38-28 right now. Let's just say they get 15 or 20 games over 500 before it ends. They could be a player out west.
Former Sacramento King De'Aaron Fox is being shut down for the remainder of the season with a finger injury. So no Wemby, no Fox. San Antonio trying to get in the Cooper Flag sweepstakes.
Yeah, about that. You look, tag. Sixers, they're trying to get in the Flag sweepstakes right now as well. Paul George, is he ever going to play for the Sixers? Who knows? But everybody tanking as the season ends, it feels like.
The quarterback carousel continues to spin around the NFL. Not Aaron Rodgers, not Russell Wilson. Gardner Minshew, DRS, the new backup in Kansas City.
Yeah, it fits the profile there. But how about this? I'm hearing Aaron Rodgers holding out for more money from certain teams. Cut the ties, baby. It's a wrap on that guy.
Send him into the darkness. College basketball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
what a Thursday it was during conference tournament week. As we often say, in my opinion, there is nothing that truly rivals the round of 64 Thursday and Friday. But a couple of days throughout a college basketball season do get very close. And as Donnie told you yesterday, when you looked up and down the slate starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time and for the next 14 hours consecutively and then some, there was going to be a great college basketball game with multiple on your screen at every single moment. And boy, did Thursday during conference tourney week deliver just that. One of the first games of the day, quarterfinal Thursday in Charlotte at the ACC tournament. And the number one team in the nation, Duke, after an outright title in the ACC, taking on Georgia Tech in their opening game in tournament play inside the Spectrum Center. Donnie, they were booked as a 22.5-point favorite, that being the Blue Devils, easily as they had through most of ACC action, expected to dispatch their opponent. It was a test early on. Georgia Tech held a double-digit lead early in the opening half, even led by five at the break. But that wasn't really the story in the opening 20 minutes. Late in the first half, Cooper Flagg goes up for a board, comes down awkwardly on his left ankle. He had to be carried off by his teammates. He was not putting any pressure on that left side. He was placed into a wheelchair in the tunnel. He was taken for x-rays. Thankfully, those x-rays negative. And as you see, Flagg did return to the bench without a brace, not placed in a walking boot, so that was a good sign. He did not return to action. We'll talk about Cooper Flagg a little bit more in just a moment. But Donnie, you mentioned it to start off the show. Duke's resolve then in the final 20 minutes without Cooper Flagg and without the injured front court player in Malik Brown, Duke rallies in the second. They win by 8, 78-70. Down by 5 at the break, live line at a point. Got to 5.5. If you bet the Blue Devils then, you did get a cover and a 28-point performance, a career high for the other uber-talented freshman in Con Knipple, leading the Blue Devils to a big victory yesterday over the Bees.
Yeah, we have to understand they were favored by 20-plus points. So regardless of a starter down or two, even if it's your best starter, you probably still should win that game. But also understand this. The game plan coming into the game for the Duke Blue Devils was roll the Yellow Jackets. Then your best player, you feel like, and if you're friends with them, teammates with them, coaching him, or fans of him, oh, no, you're thinking the worst-case scenario. We just lost him for the rest of the ACC tournament and also in March Madness, and that's going to send a chill right down the spine of your basketball team, which showed in the first half them down double digits. But understand this. Duke is a really talented team. They didn't even play well without the best player in the country, shooting 23% from the three-point line and 43% from the field and down double digits and still won the game by 8 points with a 52-point second half. That shows a lot of gumption for the Duke Blue Devils. And again, Donnie, they didn't play a team where they were, you know, only laying 3 or 4 points. I get that. But you understand this. The height of it, where the excitement is the tournament coming up, and you might have just lost your ticket to a national championship game and to fight back and win that game. I love that. And then to have your bitter rival on deck where you can end their season with a victory without your best player after beating them 2 times in a row already and the last game of the regular season in the ACC. I like what I see from the Duke Blue Devils. We have a pick six coming up at the end of the show. I'm not giving up on the Duke Blue Devils. I buy in now to the Duke Blue Devils in the ACC tournament.
And Donnie, you can get a much better price. We'll talk about the market movement during the game, after the game, in just a moment. But here is Duke head coach John Shire after the game about the status of his superstar in Cooper Flagg.
I have to be convinced by everybody in the locker room when I go back that he should play. You know, it's not worth it. You know, just isn't. And again, I mean, he was swollen already. It's not about being ready to go tomorrow. That's not the most important thing for us. We got to see if we can get him right for this run that we can make in the tournament. But I would have to be really convinced that we should even consider seeing if he can go tomorrow. And he may not be able to go anyway. He probably won't be able to go anyway. But I think it's a real long shot, a real long shot.
That's pretty transparent from John Shire. That's something you would hear talking heads like us, the RS, say. It's not worth it to win an ACC tournament title. Just go try to win a national championship as you are projected to. But most coaches in the competitive fire of it all would be like, if he's ready to go, we'll see. We'll see. We're not entirely sure. Shire basically saying what we're all feeling. Not worth it, man. We've got much bigger aspirations than just a tournament crown. We're trying to cut down the nets in 2.5 weeks in San Antonio.
Yeah, exactly. He should have hit us with one of these, which is my favorite. Like, the superstar player of the country, and the coach is like, yeah, haven't really talked to the medical team just yet about that. Like, you know, you heard 16 times from the medical team just during that first half alone. So at least he was honest. And we all understand that. Twist an ankle. The prize is the tournament. We're not going to rush him back, but we are Duke. We have some of the best medical care professionals on the planet. He's going to get round-the-clock care. So hopefully, as long as any torn ligaments, he should be able to go. But at least we did get some honesty, not like, you know what? Yeah. Haven't even thought about him yet. I'm just worried about the team moving forward in the ACC. Stop the madness. Thank you for some clarity out there, John Shire.
We didn't block out Georgia Tech all that well. I'm worried about the film. Exactly. We appreciate the transparency. But DRS, there was a lot of movement during that game for Duke after the injury to Flag and how significant it looked, at least at the very start. Duke right now, still a co-favorite alongside Auburn to win a national championship at plus 350. You can still see they are a minus money favorite, minus 145 to reach the Final Four in San Antonio, and still a slight minus money favorite to win the ACC tournament title, although they were minus 340 before this week in Charlotte did get underway. So maybe not the most drastic movement, right? Wrong. During the opening half, when Cooper Flag was down into the halftime break, Duke dropped all the way to a 7-1 number to win a national championship. If you jumped on it then, kudos to you, because once again, as you see, they are back to a co-favorite alongside the Tigers.
Yeah, exactly. And you're living in the moment here, because we do this so many times watching live NFL games, live NBA games. You see the injury. You bet accordingly at that point, only to see the player come back out for the second half. Like, ah, I just blew it right there. But you need to take those educated guesses, and it can work in your favor so many times. So, yes, if you got Duke, what a great price you got.
So again, Cooper Flag status for the remainder of the ACC tourney in Charlotte, very much in question. What his status is for the big dance, that's next up. But we've got a rivalry today in North Carolina. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The entirety of this opening hour, we are going to react and break down and recap everything we saw yesterday during conference tournament Thursday. Great games all across each and every high major level. In the ACC, Big 12, and Big East, it was quarterfinal Thursday. In the Big 10 and the SEC, round number two, setting up quarterfinal Friday. And in the other three leagues, as we alluded to, semifinal Friday as well. Let's start in the ACC. So Duke does prevail. They don't come anywhere close to covering a pregame line of 22.5, but they are on to the semifinals. Is Cooper Flag going to play today? Probably a 0.00001% chance that happens. But it is a very enticing matchup for the Blue Devils against North Carolina. UNC in the second half holding off Wake Forest in a low-scoring game that was frankly offensive to watch offensively. 68-59, UNC does prevail behind 23 points from RJ Davis. So DRS, we'll get to Louisville and Clemson in just a moment. Some very tight games and a buzzer beater for Checky Hepburn and the Cards. But it sets up a huge semifinal Friday night in Charlotte, even without Cooper Flag. North Carolina and Duke for a third time this year. And UNC still looking for quad one win number two and maybe their ticket punch to the big dance.
Yeah, and it could be one of those games that does put them over the hump and into the NCAA tournament. On a typical year, regardless of what you see you're getting from North Carolina, you just look at the record in ACC play and say they're minted already. They're already in. And some people actually figure they are already in. But now's that chance, and it's sort of like a backhand at this point where it's like, you know what? We're going to beat Duke. Yeah, we beat Duke quad one, one of the best teams in the country, but without Cooper Flag. But if you lose to them, it's almost like if Cooper Flagg was out there. Would the committee look at that different? Like, hey, look, they fought him hard. They lost by 4 points in the SEC tournament. They were close already. They're in, as opposed to you lose to Duke by 2 points in this game without Cooper Flagg, then it automatically shuts the door and it counts as a negative, not like, well, they played a upper level quad one team and lost on a neutral site. So I'm interested to see what happens there. The other teams in the ACC, not all that impressive all throughout. And yesterday, by the way, Carolina, what, 4 points over like the first 6-7 minutes of that game, didn't really look good and finally caught their swag here and got a late game, you know, 68 points. I think their team total, which I hit, was 76 and a half at that point.
It was,
not impressive across the ACC yesterday for teams. Louisville should have plastered, you know, Stanford at that point. Barely got by. You take a look at Clemson, who is a better basketball team than SMU. Low scoring, hard fought game. So I'm not looking at this going like, hey, who's the angle now to play in the ACC because Duke is probably going to be without their best player. I would like it better if Louisville by double digits, Clemson by double digits, UNC really put it on Wake Forest. We didn't get that there. So that's why I look at Duke saying, you know what? They just might be okay to win the ACC without Cooper Flagg. That'd be incredible.
DRS, I can't really hear what you're saying right now. The IFB not working great, but I think the points are sound. Clemson knocking out SMU 57-54. The Tigers were a 6.5-point favorite. That should eliminate Andy Enfield and his Stangs from at-large consideration. And what a wild ending it was in the first game of the night session last night in Charlotte. Louisville and Stanford tied at 73. In the closing moments, Terrence Edwards for the Cards hoists a three from the top of the key. No good. Few seconds left. A battle for the board underneath. Physically, I'm not even still sure how the ball ended up in Chucky Hepburn's hands, the transfer from Wisconsin, from Bellevue, Nebraska, the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. But he was Johnny on the spot and stayed ready at every time. Caught it, fired, good. 75-73 as the horn sounded in Charlotte. So, Donnie, to your point, which I think I heard slightly in terms of those ACC tournament title odds, Duke's still a slight minus money favorite, minus 110. Duke still, even without Cooper Flagg, more than likely, 7.5-point favorite tonight against Carolina. On the other side, Louisville and Clemson basically in a pick'em, the Cards and the Tigers tied with the same number to win that ACC tourney title at a plus 340 price.
Yeah, I got to break that game down just a little bit more today as it shows up. I saw Rayne Smith, one of the better three-point shooters in the country. He's been down for some time with an ankle injury, trying to rehab that. Was out of the boot yesterday, walking around pregame, but still not playing yet. But if I'm without looking at the numbers right now, I am leaning towards Clemson in that Louisville game. Louisville does have some firepower, but it will be interesting to watch it play out and would not be surprised if Clemson does wind up as the ACC tournament champions. We'll see it play out, though, coming up soon.
And just so you know, North Carolina's price, if you think the Carolina Tar Heels can make a run, not just past Duke, but not even worry about an at-large consideration in the automatic bid, UNC at this moment, plus 650. Let's talk some Big East ball in the Garden next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to recap and our reactions from conference tournament Thursday at the high major level around college hoops. Quarterfinal Thursday within the Big East inside the world's most famous arena and some crazy games there as well. Not to start, St. John's burying Butler in the opening game of the day, winning by 21, 78-57. The Johnnies easily cover as a 12.5-point favorite. A total of 145 and a hook does stay under. Great game in the second game of the afternoon session, Marquette and Xavier. Huge opportunity for the Musketeers, playing some great basketball down the stretch, but like North Carolina DRS, only a single quad one victory so far this season. A golden opportunity against the Golden Eagles. Xavier led by as many as 14 points in the second half, only for Marquette to come all the way back and win by two, 89-87.
Yeah, a lot of good games yesterday in the Big East in the world's most famous arena. I'll tell you one that I was looking at all the way through, the DePaul game. I had a team total under 65.5. I couldn't understand what was going on. DePaul is terrible on offense. 36-21 at the half to Paul. I'm like, is Creighton just giving up on the season at this point? And then they go all the way down and go into double overtime and Creighton ends up winning. But hear me out on this. And we see this a lot. And it's not because I lost a wager. Sometimes I watch like, oh, I might be able to get lucky here. Maybe a layup by DePaul. Maybe they get to the free throw line. They won't be able to get their team total, win the game in regulation. Everybody goes home happy. I will never understand this. If, Ben, you have, let's just say, 3 to 4 seconds left, and you got to hoist a 29-foot three-point shot at the buzzer in a tie game, I'll deal with that. When you have like 15 seconds left and your draw-up design is a 28-foot three-point shot basically at the buzzer, which got blocked, I will never understand that. What happened to drive to the rim, get fouled, or kick it out for a wide-open jump shot? It's just the way it is sometimes. So Creighton, big-time win. Why? Against a bad team because they were getting embarrassed, but also the other side. DePaul missed a golden opportunity there where they could have closed that game out, weren't able to do it. But it was a fun game to watch all the way through. I just wish it was lower scoring from one team's perspective.
But listen, if you are the Blue Demons, and what a game it was, the forced double overtime, the environment inside the Garden, absolutely raucous. And most of the casual fans who were probably the Hair DRS for the final game of the night, Connecticut and Villanova, were kind of hoping for the underdog. Yep. For DePaul to make some noise and stun the 2 seed in the Big East tournament. Good resolve out of Ryan Kalkbrenner, Stephen Ashworth, who did foul out despite hitting that game tying 3 to send it to the extra session for CU. DePaul had a very successful end to this year. A team last year, DRS, that played 21 Big East games, didn't win a single one. A team this year that was 2-16 to start through the end of February in conference play. They won their final 2 games of the regular season. They beat Georgetown inside the Garden, and they take Creighton down to the very end in double overtime. What Chris Holtmann has done this year in Chicago should leave a lot of DePaul fans feeling optimistic about the future for this Blue Demons program. Creighton on to semifinal Friday, where they will see Connecticut. We thought it might be a game, maybe one last gasp for Villanova, trying to get to the big dance via the automatic bid in the Big East. Could they save Kyle Neptune's 3rd year on the main line? Nope. They get beat by 17. UConn winning big, easily covering as a 6.5-point favorite, and that should do it for Villanova and their quest to make the big dance. Donnie, that means all 3 years and Kyle Neptune has been the head coach outside of Philadelphia. 3 misses to the NCAA tournament and maybe a coaching change forthcoming this offseason.
Yeah, that'll get you fired. And it should get you fired at a program that has national championships under his belt and a storied history in the Big East. They were 11-9 in the regular season, which isn't bad typically in a really deep Big East, but it's not the same Big East that we looked at even a couple years ago. And also, 36-31 at the break, you come out and score 20 points in the second half, getting hammered by UConn. And the fact that Eric Dixon, 34 minutes, 2 of 15 from the floor, only 8 points. Yeah. You just can't have that at this point here. Look, nobody wants to see people lose their job, but in a high major, which, again, not technically the Big East, as let's just say the ACC or the Big 12, but the Villanova Wildcats synonymous with getting into the tournament 3 straight. You want to go 1 year, rotate, like missed it last year, made it this year. They'll deal with that on the main line. 3 straight years, and again, farther away from those Jay Wright years where you can just go into a kid's house. We're Villanova. We're built on great guard play. I'll turn you into a star, and you win games and get a great education. That's not going to sell as much 3 years out of the tournament. Kids want to play in the tournament, not go to a good school and hope they can make it into the tournament.
Eric Dixon, the nation's leading scorer, so to only put up 8 against UConn last night, that is never going to lead to the upset and a continued march here in the month of March. Let's get to Thursday, Big 12 quarterfinal action in Kansas City. First game of the day, the one at the bottom. What an absolute wonderful affair between these two sides once again. BYU and Iowa State. The Cougars win their 9th consecutive game, 96-92. A total of 145.5 skies over. BYU wins outright as a 3.5-point dog. Donnie, we said yesterday, this game tips at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. Be tuned into that tip because Iowa State had a couple of players that were questionable to go. Taman Lipsey, their star point guard. Keyshawn Gilbert, one of the best guards in the Big 12. Both did not play yesterday. I bet BYU, as soon as I saw that, closer to a pick'em price. And yet Curtis Jones for Iowa State had other ideas in the opening 20 minutes. He was leading Iowa State to a halftime lead, and the fact that the Cyclones were so hot offensively to begin. 31 combined made threes between these two, a Big 12 tourney record. This following DRS just a few weeks ago in Ames, an 88-85 thriller in overtime between these two teams. Double OT even. What a great game it was yesterday to start off quarterfinal Thursday in KC.
It was. And you know me, I have my eyes on Iowa State. Down a couple starters in that game, still put up 92 points against a quality opponent. Did lose there. Should not get that extra bump. And guards win in March. If you don't have your best guards, you're probably not going to win against quality opponents. And they still hung tough at that point here. I'm not giving up on Iowa State, but now we just need to see and read the tea leaves of how healthy these players are going to be with roughly a week off before their next game. If they're both back in the starting lineup, that's a team I certainly want to take a look at. But credit to BYU. Again, we talk about Kentucky in the same way. They are a fun team to watch and a fun team to bet, no doubt about it.
They hoist so many threes, and they hit 50% of them yesterday. Richie Saunders, BYU star, absolutely balling out in the critical moments. The dream run for Colorado comes to a close, but not before a cover for the Buffs. They were a 17.5-point dog against Houston. The Cougs do win 77-68. Houston, BYU in the first of two semis today in Kansas City. That should be a good one. Yeah. Arizona knocks off Kansas 88-77. The Cats do cover as a 2.5-point favorite. And the Red Raiders of Texas Tech were tested by Baylor, but they do hold off the Bears 76-74. Baylor covers as a 6.5-point dog.
Yeah, they did cover as a 6.5-point dog there. And Texas Tech, another one of those teams that I'm eyeing up here, can play defense, can shoot it as well. Not a great second half, but it shows something. You scored 52 in the first half and 24 in the second, and you still held on to win. Boy, some of these games, Ben, get real squirrely in the second half with teams with big leads or down, but that's college basketball. Get used to those runs that are going to happen in March Madness. Good win for Texas Tech as they move on. One of my favorite conferences with a couple more great games today.
It is going to be a great slate on this Friday in Big 12 action. And DRS, despite the fact that Kelvin Sampson's Cougs are the third most efficient defense in college basketball, they'll let you take a couple of threes if you want them, and that's exactly what BYU wants to do. The Cougs and the Cougs, 7.5-point spread in the first game of semifinal Friday on in the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. Houston, of course, favor that total 135.5. I think that total will really represent who comes out either with a cover or an outright win. We'll break down everything ahead on this Friday in conference tournament action coming up later on in these next 2 hours. But up next, we head to the SEC with some of the big dogs in round two yesterday in Nashville. In so many chaotic closings, we got a breakdown for you here on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a day of madness it was in Nashville in round number two at the SEC tournament. Three of our four games came down to the closing seconds, either in regulation, in one OT, or even a second overtime. Donnie, that first game on the board was a huge one. In the Lone Star Showdown between Texas A&M and Texas, the Longhorns have now won two consecutive games to start off their rendition of SEC tournament action. And that one yesterday over their bitter foes in the Aggies might be good enough to send Texas to the NCAA tournament. Now healthy, this Texas team looks like the preseason top 25 team we all expected to be, led by one of the great freshmen in the sport in Trey Johnson. They outlast the Aggies in double overtime, 94-89. Texas wins outright as a 5.5-point dog.
Yeah, like you say, in the NFL, any given Sunday, in the SEC, any given day, anybody can beat anybody, it feels like, outside of maybe South Carolina. And you're seeing some of those results. You can get hot in this tournament. You can put up more victories. You can start to sway some opinions. You can put yourself in the bubble. Let's just say Texas just keeps winning and winds up, let's just say, in the SEC title game, in the toughest conference here, only going 6-12 in the regular season. And as you said, getting healthy now, playing better at the right time, that could sway some people and some information to go with you as opposed to against you. But also, a double overtime victory, all that moxie here. But understand this, you don't play a double overtime game like, whoo, man, we don't play again until next Sunday. No, you play right away the very next day. We'll see if Texas is up to the challenge.
And we'll see, right? That slingshot theory. Mm-hmm. Texas playing their best basketball. Can they continue doing just that? They take on Tennessee during the afternoon of quarterfinal Friday, rather, at the Southeastern Conference Tournament. The Vols want to grind you out defensively. Texas yesterday playing with a ferocity and a motor matching that of Buzz Williams and his Aggies. But when you look at Texas A&M right now, DRS, they lost four straight toward the tail end of the regular season, even including their opening game in March against Florida. Bounced back with two straight wins in their final week, including at home against Auburn, a road win against LSU, dropped their opener in the SEC tourney. So they dropped five of their final seven, awaiting their fate on Selection Sunday. A&M will be in, just a matter of seed line right now. One thing to know about the Aggies, as you start to fill out your bracket, everything will be matchup dependent. If Texas A&M is playing a team that is not great rebounding, that is weak on the glass, favor A&M, the best offensive rebounding team you will ever see. No second opportunity is out of bounds. DRS, as we go through the rest of the SEC tournament that we saw yesterday, let's get to the boring game of the four, if you will. Missouri knocking off Mississippi State. As Donnie and I said yesterday, we love Mizzou to cover, laying 3.5 points. We love the total to sky over, 155.5, working its way up through the afternoon and evening hours. Both of those cash as Missouri knocks off the Bulldogs 85-73 over that total of 155.5, 156.5 even.
Yeah, good basketball team, 10-8 in the SEC, which again is a very good record here in the regular season. And it's one of those things, we look at Mississippi State, don't really know what to get out of them anymore. Defensive identity really not there. They get pasted on a night-to-night basis. And their calling card for Chris Jans was supposed to be, we're going to play really good defense and slow it down. They do the opposite of it right now. So maybe an identity crisis for that team that's slipping up and, again, was outed. 39 points in the first half, 46 in the second half for Mizzou. Missouri, again, a fun team, which we say a lot in the SEC. But the question mark certainly around for those Bulldogs, and who are they actually?
I don't know where they're going to be on the seed line. Probably 6-8 would be my guess. I'll tell you this right now. Round of 64, I'm picking the other side as long as the matchup looks like it is going to be that one that matches up in my favor. Now the other two chaotic games, DRS, yesterday in Nashville, the nightcap, and for a second time in 2 weeks, Otega Owe against his former school in Norman, that would be Oklahoma, delivers the final blow to win it for Kentucky. Yesterday, Kentucky down by a point, about 7.5 seconds left. They inbound it, having to go the full length of the court. Otega Owe catches it, just sprints past two Sooners defenders, finds his way down the baseline, and with a lefty floater, knocks it down with a half second remaining. Kentucky outlasts Oklahoma 85-84. The Sooners do cover as a 6.5 point dog. Huge win for Kentucky. Oklahoma was trying to bolster the resume, and despite 28 points from Jeremiah Fears, one of the best freshmen in the SEC and around the nation, it's that former Sooner once again in Otega Owe that delivers 27 points to knock out the Sooners.
It was great. It was great theater. It was great to watch. It was great excitement in the building, and Kentucky advances, which is awesome as well because it's a team I love to handicap. But also, you take a shot at the NBA now when we watch NCAA action. Can you imagine that play where they just called timeout and moved it to the front court and they threw it down low and he made a layup? Yeah, that's really exciting. No, these are the moments that we get in college basketball that are so much fun. In college basketball, you have to earn every single foot out there on the court, and Kentucky did that. Congratulations. Great win for them. Let's see if they can springboard that to another victory today. But I love it. The theater in college basketball, second to none.
Kentucky takes on Alabama tonight in the final game of quarterfinal Friday in Nashville. Mm. What is that total?
Points.
Between two of the fastest
179.5, is it?
179.5, DRS. Woo. Reminiscent of what their regular season finale matchup was,
man,
just a couple of weeks ago. The final between these two in the SEC regular season slate. 180.5. Barely staying under with 179 combined points scored. And how about Sean Padula and Ole Miss battling foul trouble all afternoon long in Nashville with 1.3 seconds remaining from deep? Padula delivers the game winner as the Running Rebs hold off Arkansas and hand a big, big defeat to the Razorbacks. Trevin Brazile at the line for the Hogs, DRS, with 7 seconds left. Game tied at 80 all. Misses both free throws, setting the stage for that Padula onions near the buzzer for Ole Miss.
It's a backguard play. DJ Wagner coming out of Camden, New Jersey, one of the highest touted freshmen you're going to see in one of the biggest games that he played this year. 3 of 12, 0 for 5 from the three-point line. 9 total points here as Arkansas goes down. Are they still a tournament team, though, with 8 wins? Are we saying that or no?
Right. I still believe they are. You see the other star guard in the crowd? Marshall Henderson. More CBB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on this College Basketball Friday, we round out our opening hour with round two action in the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. A heartbreaker for DRS in the first game that see. 5-13 matchup between Wisconsin and Northwestern. The Badgers really in control for a good majority of the second half, pulling away, extending their advantage. A late Northwestern three with about 13 seconds remaining, rather meaningless for the overall outcome of the game, does allow the Cats to cover as a 7.5 point or 8.5 point underdog. Donnie, I am sorry once again.
But it wasn't like this was one of those where, you know, I'm out and about with the wife. I'm just checking on my phone. It's 68-51 with 3 minutes to go in that game, about 3.5 minutes to go. So it's like, all right, you walk it up the court. The subs are in. Maybe each team makes a shot or two and you go home. But then when I got home and I saw the final score, 70-63, when you're laying, what, 7.5, 8.5 points this one, you say, all right, well, let me go back to see what happens. And when does this always go against you where it's okay, you splash down a triple with roughly 30 seconds left to go to make it 7. And we agree to walk off the court, that never happens in your direction. That's always a foul. Like, oh, what are you doing, fouling? The game is over. But they usually play it out. Specifically, correct me if I'm wrong, like Northwestern's not like, oh, we're already in the tournament at this point, so it's no big deal. We don't have to fight for our lives. That was the most disappointing. But again, a 17-point lead with 3 minutes to go that you lose the cover, and then also on a late three ball that goes down, that if it misses, they would have walked off the court. But I can't believe they didn't foul. Even if they fouled and missed like one of the two free throws and still lost, I'm like, you know what? I'll live with that. The fact that they just wasted 20-plus seconds with no foul, that never happens when you need that to happen.
Northwestern not in any postseason tournament. That was the final game of their season. So a tough one, DRS, for you. Wisconsin in the 5-4 matchup will take on UCLA later this afternoon in Indy. The first game of the day, the top team in the conference, Michigan State, will take on Oregon. The Ducks yesterday prevailing past Indiana 72-59. Oregon covering as a 2.5 point favorite. Dana Altman has been the head coach in Eugene since the start of the 2010-2011 season. That's the last 15 years. Dana Altman's record at Oregon in the month of March alone, 75-30. It is the highest win total around the country at any program at the D1 level in the month of March in the last decade and a half, going up against the guy whose last name is synonymous with March in East Lansing this time of year. A really great one to start quarterfinal Friday, Michigan State and Oregon today in Indianapolis.
Yeah, good one here. And also heard Scotty talking about yesterday on the network how angry he is at his Indiana squad that's 10-10 and an underwhelming performance with an overwhelming crowd on your side and your advantage. And he came up with a 59-point effort. That's certainly not going to turn any heads at this point. So 10-10 Indiana, like, I don't really check like Lunardi day to day. They're out, right? They're out. Are they out at this point? Like, is it a done deal for Indiana, or is there a chance?
They were in the tournament as of yesterday, as of this week. That was a costly loss for IU. Not going to harm their resume, Donnie, but they don't pick up a marquee victory over Oregon, which allows teams like Texas making that run. Boise State, big victory yesterday out in Mountain West Conference tourney action to kind of bolster their resumes as well. There you see the Broncos getting a big win by 10 over San Diego State. Boise State, New Mexico tonight out in Sin City. Oh boy, other action around the Big Ten tourney. Illinois in Iowa. Highest scoring game ever in Big Ten tourney action. 106-94. That total was about 164.5. It skies over in Purdue DRS, scoring the final 5 points of the game against the USC team that played in two overtimes the night before against Rutgers. The Boilers outlasting Southern Cal 76-71.
Yeah, every win is a good win, and also I thought USC might be a little bit tired, and you can't just say, oh, well, they fell apart in the second half. They really didn't. That was a touch-and-go game all the way through, so credit USC for hanging around. But I do like Purdue. I like the makeup of that basketball team, really efficient on offense, and I actually thought they would win this game by double digits. Didn't do that, but still picked up the win. We'll see them moving forward. One of those teams I'm a little bit intrigued about here because of their ability to shoot that dagger from three-point range.
Purdue a slight favorite today against the reeling Michigan team. Illinois and Maryland in a pick 'em. What wins out, the Crab 5 or Illinois scoring? The Illini now have won 4 straight games, covering in all 4. Some other action from yesterday. Boise State is on. Utah State, Colorado State move on in Mountain West play. Semifinal Friday in Las Vegas. Akron scoring a ton. UCSB. UC San Diego tonight, hour 2 next.